You are listening to the morning show on member supported KAXE KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. Today, we are talking with some of the folks from Enbridge Energy and Precision Pipeline. We're learning more about the Line 3 project, and it is underway and going on in northern Minnesota. Joining us and back with us is Barry Simonson, Director of Line 3 Mainline Construction. From Precision Pipeline, it's Rachel Johnson and Patrick Hughley, Enbridge Tribal Engagement. Thanks for being here today, you guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Now, we know the name Enbridge, but we haven't heard as much Precision Pipeline. Can you kind of explain the relationship between the two and how this works?
Sure. Well, maybe I'll start off. In terms of the Line 3 project, we've gone through Enbridge an extensive process in terms of contracting the most experienced contractors for the project. Of the 340-mile replacement, we did choose Precision Pipeline to essentially build a majority of the pipeline from Clearbrook South. Now, what's important about that is that we have chosen Precision to do that work, but it comes with a lot of preparatory work in order to make sure that we all collectively understand the permits that we did obtain for the project, the conditions by which we have to build the pipeline safely and effectively from an environmental perspective. But also keeping in mind that we have a lot of workers out there. We want to make sure everyone's safe. So it's really a collective joint effort for the project to become a success in the state of Minnesota. And with that, I'll turn over to Rachel.
Sure. Thanks, Barry. You know, he's absolutely right. We align with Enbridge, our client, and in terms of making sure we're building to the standards required, the environmental standards, safety. All of those things are of utmost importance to us. Precision Pipeline, just a little bit of a background. We were founded in 2004 and we're out of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, our home base, and we'll be constructing about 230 miles of the project in step with Enbridge every step of the way.
I know I've asked you this before, Barry, but little background on why this project is taking place right now.
So let's back up about 50 years, 50 plus years, actually. Line 3 was installed back in the 1960s, and it is one of either seven or six pipelines that currently reside in our Enbridge mainline system and safely operate and transport crude oil that we all use in various aspects within the United States and North America. Now, over time, Line 3 has seen the majority of its share of maintenance work just due to corrosion on the pipeline that has resulted from some of the coatings that were used predominantly back in the 60s. And to be very clear also, we do have agreement with the federal government that dates back to the Obama administration for the replacement of Line 3. So in essence, this is a safety and maintenance driven project. The crude oil that we all use is being transported through Line 3 and the other pipelines safely. But at this point in time, and this has taken about 6 years from a permitting perspective to get to the point we are today, where we are constructing and replacing Line 3. And we started December 1st, so we're about 2 months in. And we're continually working with the agencies, making sure the conditions are met in our permits, as well as making sure that everyone is kept safe and the quality of the product that we're building is going to be conducted in that manner. And so there's some background on Line 3.
Yeah. So it started December 1st. Let's talk about the workers. And I'm not sure, maybe all of you might want to weigh in on this. How many jobs are out there? Are people from the local area? Can you kind of give us an idea of that?
Sure. So we did start, like I mentioned, December 1st when we did receive all of our permits. Construction, it starts slow because you ramp up. So the workforce gradually increased. And I believe as of last week, we were at about 5,500 workers across the entire project, and that is to replace the 340 miles or to install the 340 miles of pipeline across Minnesota, but also the 8 pump stations. So it's a very, very detailed process. Our contractors have various crews that do specific work. I'll get to a few of those. like potholing, clearing of the right of way, making sure there's access to and from the roads and wetlands and water bodies, laying timber mats. And then a lot of the pipe that we've seen across Minnesota and various yards, that pipe is being placed across the right of way and welded up in preparation for trenching and lowering in. So it's very, very meticulous. And right now we are at about peak, almost peak workforce for the winter. And in terms of the workforce themselves, this is a predominantly, I should say, not predominantly, it is an all union project. So we have highly skilled union workforce from across the state of Minnesota. I believe we have about 50% plus that come out of the local union halls across the state. And we also see individuals that come with a contractor that specialize in certain certain tasks such as welding. So there are people that are coming out of various parts of the United States, but it's important that we're putting people to work in a time where with the pandemic that we have with COVID, it's important that we're creating a lot of business to the area that we're constructing in and around areas, I should say, because it is across Minnesota. But we're also making sure that we're keeping people safe as well as our workers safe with regard to COVID.
You're talking about local communities and your involvement with them. I wonder, Patrick, you're the work with tribal engagement. Can you kind of tell us what that means, what your job is and how you are engaging with tribal members and governments?
Yeah, sure. So we've obviously been, like Barry said, in northern Minnesota operating for the last 70 years. So we have a strong relationship with both Fond du Lac and Leech Lake, where we currently operate. And we've had that relationship before Line 3 replacement was ever brought to the table. And that just comes from continually operating on their land. So I just want to start by saying we have a strong relationship, particularly with those two tribal communities. And over the course of Line 3, you know, tribal engagement has become a bigger and bigger piece of what we do here at Enbridge, and recognizing the reserved rights and the off-reservation rights of the tribal people here in northern Minnesota has become a bigger part of the conversation here at Enbridge. So that just kind of rounds out, you know, I think why we're really working with the tribal communities here. And a few things that we are doing are really trying to get tribal members to work on Line 3 to provide that experience. We've got an empowerment training program that we sponsor with a tribal member-owned business called Five Skies. And that empowerment training is a five-week course meant to bring tribal members into the crafts, into the trades. So after they go through the training program, they then enter into union training, then find work on the job. To date, we've got around 300 or so tribal members working on the project, which is a great number, and we're striving for more every day. The other thing I'll touch on is we have a $100 million commitment with the Minnesota PUC, a commitment of spending with tribal-owned or tribal member-owned businesses here in Minnesota. To date, we're around $180 million. And the reporting for that is going to be coming out here in the next week or so, and will be publicly available after that. So folks that are interested can go in and take a look at that, like I said, in the next week or so.
Yesterday, I traveled on Highway 169, so went through Aiken and saw some of the billboards and some of the work that was going on. There was a big billboard about human trafficking, and I know that's something that has not been reported out of this project, but in the past, the situation of workers coming into a place has meant that there is human trafficking. How does Enbridge work on this and get ahead of this before there are problems like this?
Yeah, great question, Heidi. First off, Enbridge takes human trafficking very, very seriously, and we have zero tolerance for this type of exploitation by anyone associated with our company or its projects. That has to be a very strong statement up front, is that we take this very, very seriously. We're guided by a strong set of values, our safety, integrity, respect, and inclusion, And we hold ourselves and contractors and others to those values. So we take it very seriously, and we've been actively working to raise awareness on the issue.
And that means there's probably things in place if you were to find out that there was some trafficking going on how to handle that?
That's right. Yep. There's Your Call Minnesota campaign that we've helped sponsor, and that's one avenue, and that's yourcallminnesota.org. There's phone numbers associated with that. There's training. I want to touch on the training. We've gone through extensive training on human trafficking as a part of the onboarding of workers on the Line 3 replacement project. This is a mandate by the state of Minnesota, the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission, but the prevention training provides insight and education on human trafficking in Minnesota. It includes stories from survivors, impacts on Native American communities, local programs and resources, and how to spot. I think that's probably the most important, is how to spot and report suspected trafficking situations.
Right. Just by the nature of it, it's a secret underworld kind of going on. Barry, or I think Patrick, you talked about values of the company. I know I live in Grand Rapids, so the hotels are booked here. We're seeing a lot more traffic. I know the Bemidji area is also seeing the same. These are good things for these communities that we're in, especially as people are not traveling as much anymore during the pandemic. But I know that residents of these towns worry about all these new people coming in and what they're going to be doing in the community. How do you approach that with your employees?
That's a good question, and I think it's an important, very important one. But one of the important components that we've implemented, actually since this last summer, when we actually replaced 13 miles in North Dakota of Line 3, is that we implemented a very robust COVID-19 preparedness plan. We did this in conjunction with our contractors, our internal health services group, epidemiologists, and actually we have weekly meetings with the Minnesota Department of Health on this plan specifically. But it's a plan. It's a plan that you could just have sitting on a shelf, but we've taken it to action. And what we've done is we've gone through training with all of our workers in terms of the plan itself. We have implemented a testing program that essentially tests individuals multiple times, day one test, day seven, and everyone's been tested bi-weekly, or is tested bi-weekly on the project. But we also implement, as you mentioned, with traffic on the roads, you can well imagine individuals have to get from point A to point B and to point C on the right of way. So what that means is there is traffic. There's a lot of trucks going up and down the right of way and the highways. And part of that preparedness plan is personal protective equipment. So the use of masks, the use of eyeglasses, the use of shields, cleaning and hygiene is followed very, very strict on the project, whether it's in the yards, in the offices that we're working, or in the field for the workers and when they're being transported from their residence, if you will, they're living to the right of way. So we take that very seriously, and we make sure that we're not just keeping the workers safe, but we're keeping the community safe.
Before we go, for the three of you, anything else you'd like to add about this project?
Yeah, I think I can add on to what Barry was saying there too, is, you know, we, like I said, we've been operating here for 70 years. We have longstanding relationships, you know, and understanding. And then on the tribal communities piece, we want our workers to understand where they're working and the respect for the land and for the traditions that we expect out of them. And so we put together actually a cultural awareness training video that all contractors, similar to our human trafficking awareness video, it's something that all workers take as they are onboarded onto the project. And it was developed with local tribal leadership and community members for this education piece. I think it's important for folks to hear that, you know, we are doing that type of training and understanding so that our workers are respectful when they're out in the community. And I know we do it for other communities that we operate in as well. But I just wanted to touch on that one piece And all of that is in line with our Indigenous peoples policy.
Heidi, I'll add to Patrick's comments too for a moment on the respect. I guess I wanted to bring up the Respect Minnesota pledge. And that's a pledge, you know, centered around honoring and respecting people and their opinions, and then listening and finding common ground to provide a safe work environment for everyone, you know, during infrastructure projects like the Line 3 replacement project. And, you know, the pledge was introduced by a union group, the Local 49 operators. And then last year, all of the contractors who were selected by Ambridge to build the project, and that includes Precision Pipeline and Michaels and Minnesota Limited, we all signed a giant pledge card, which symbolized our commitment to the Respect Pledge and what it stands for. And the other union crafts signed on to that pledge too. And I just want to mention what those pledge tenets are, and it reinforces what Patrick was just talking about as well. And those are to support free speech and a safe environment for everyone, to listen and be inclusive and look for common ground, to respect others, our natural environment, the local communities, and then respecting the cultural heritage and history of the Indigenous people. And then finally, to be accountable for words and actions and abide by the law. And at Precision Pipeline, you know, we recognize that our workers are guests in the communities where we're working, and we want to leave a positive impact on the communities. And so that's very important to us. For your listeners, I just wanted to mention that many towns and cities along the project route have all signed on to the Respect Pledge. And that's often through government level resolutions. And a couple of cities to note: Clearbrook, Bagley, Hill City, La Prairie, I think all of those are in your listening area. They've all signed on to the pledge. You may start seeing the Respect Pledge logo on the city population signs as you enter the communities. And then the Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce and the Itasca County Economic Development Corporation have all signed on to the pledge as well. So it's very important to be respectful in these communities, and that's how we show that.
That's Rachel Johnson from Precision Pipeline. We also heard from Patrick Hughley today in Bridge Tribal Engagement, and Barry Simonson, Director of Line 3 Mainline Construction.